With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Taking a look and continuing our look around the rest of the National League Central, we now go to Cincinnati to check in on the Reds. Mo Egger, our buddy down there from ESPN Radio 1530 ESPN in Cincy, chiming in. Mo, how you been, buddy?
Bill, I'm doing great. What's going on?
We're trying to get out of this polar weather and eventually head down to spring. Are you going down to spring training?
I'm leaving tonight.
Are you really? Good for you, man.
Reds Brewers on Thursday.
There you go. Hey, are you going to get a chance to go to one of the, well, this is going to be the last Marty party, right?
This is the last, yeah, this is the last hurrah. That's sort of the, you know, among the many interesting things about this season, and this team is infinitely more interesting than it's been over the last 4 years. What that last call is like from the Hall of Fame broadcaster, the Hall of Fame voice of the Reds, what that last call is like, how emotional it is for him, mm-hmm. and I think how jarring it's going to be for listeners to hear him and go, man, I'm never going to hear Marty Brenneman call a baseball game again. That is, you know, he's been a fixture here, and obviously the direct comparison is Bob Uecker. Been calling games since 1974 when Marty Brenneman, and you know this, when he called his first Cincinnati Reds regular season game, it was the game where Hank Aaron tied Babe Ruth for mm-hmm. the all-time home run lead. That was in 1974. That's how long it's been. So, yeah, when you and I are talking next year and we're preparing for a new Reds season, we're going to be doing so without Marty Brenneman behind the microphone for the first time in my life, and I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, I've kind of stayed in touch a little bit. We've texted back and forth, and I follow his wife. He had a tremendous trip on Facebook going. They drove to Arizona, for those that don't know, and he hit every landmark. He went to Elvis's house, and they hit all the great places down there in Beale Street and went through San Antonio, went through the Alamo. It's been an incredible journey for kind of his last year, and that is the big side story to what has been Yasiel Puig coming into that situation, and they picked up a few guys. They picked up Iglesias, an infielder, to give them some depth. Dietrich gives them some depth. They make a trade. They pick up Matt Kemp. I mean, it seems like with Sonny Gray coming in and Alex Wood coming in and Tanner Roark there, they got a lot going on. Is this team going for it?
They're, you know, I put it this way. They're going in. They're not going all in. And they've had a productive summer or a productive winter. I think what folks have to realize is this team last year, number one, lost 95 games. It was the fourth consecutive year of 94 losses or more. And they're feeling it at the box office. They had their lowest attendance total since 1984, which is remarkable when you think about all the valleys this team has gone through over the last, you know, 34 or 35 years. Fewer people went to Cincinnati Reds games last year than had gone since 1984. So I think their first primary objective was, we got to reignite interest. We got to get people talking about this team again. We got to create some dimension of intrigue. We've got to get people, you know, excited about going to the ballpark. And I think they've done that to an extent. Now, I think the idea that what they've done is going to, you know, yield a whole bunch of sellouts is a little far-fetched, but they've certainly created some interest in the team. And while they've made their team better, I think they've assessed where they are in the marketplace well enough that they haven't done something stupid. You know, they've made improvements to the team, and they certainly had to do that with the starting pitching, but they haven't traded away their best prospects. They've brought in a bunch of guys who, like Yasiel Puig and Matt Kemp and Alex Wood and Tanner Roark, and guys who aren't guaranteed to be here in 2020. So I think the short-term hope is maybe they overachieve, maybe they catch lightning in a bottle. And if they don't, they're going to be one of the more active teams at the deadline, trading away pieces to teams who are contending and then really build or add to what's become a pretty healthy farm system. And it comes at very little cost. They didn't give up that much to get the guys they got from the Dodgers, and they shed a terrible contract and the toxic relationship they had with Homer Bailey. You know, a year ago at this time, they were trying to just five any five guys who could pitch. Now I can at least tell you who's going to be in the starting rotation. And this team has scored some runs over the last couple of years, and I think in many respects they've gotten better offensively just by the fact that Billy Hamilton's bat isn't holding down the lineup. They should be able to score some runs. You know as well as anybody, they're in a really competitive division, and I don't think the pitching is good enough to be, you know, to have us realistically be talking about them contending. But what they've done has come at such little cost. It has created some interest, and their farm system is in as good a shape as it's been in a very long time. I think for the first time in a long time, it's fair to be pretty optimistic if you're a Reds fan.
Their farm system, I agree. I was going through it the other day, and it's just really young. I mean, they've got a couple of guys that could possibly come up. You look at a guy like what was it, Stevenson? I mean, he's in Double-A right now. I mean, he's a solid catch. And, you know, number one guy is Nick Senzel. He could possibly come up and be one of your infielders if need be. You've got Jonathan India is another one, the third baseman or shortstop, but he's in High A. I mean, you got a really good farm system, just really young. I mean, there's a lot of young cats. Jose Siri is another guy that's highly thought of. Trammell's another guy that's thought of, but I think Siri's in AAA and Trammell's in AA. So there's a lot there. They've built it up. Now it's just a matter of, like you said, just kind of buying some time to let it season.
Yeah, I think there's that, and I think, you know, also long-term, what's the pitching plan? They brought in Sonny Gray, and they traded for him from the Yankees, and then they signed him to a three-year contract extension, and that was to me, a relatively low-risk, but still some risk, yet high-reward play. They reunite him with his college pitching coach, Derek Johnson, who obviously your listeners are very familiar with, having been the Brewers guy for a couple of years, and so I think there's some hope that that pairing is going to help Sonny Gray recapture the magic. If so, they've signed him for about $30 million over the next 3 years. That's a bargain if you get the Oakland A's version of Sonny Gray. Beyond that, though, you know, you have to hope Luis Castillo takes a step forward, but if Alex Wood's not here and Tanner Roark isn't here, this franchise has reached rock bottom over the last couple of years, primarily because they simply haven't developed that many good starting pitchers. In fact, I think if you go, and I've kind of looked this up, if you go across the last 45 years, they have developed two bona fide front-of-the-rotation aces. I would put Johnny Cueto into that category. I would put Mario Soto, who younger listeners might not remember, under that category. Aside from that, their best pitchers haven't come from within, or they've merely been good and not great. They've struggled ever since they had that rotation that was so good back in 2012 to get anybody who's mediocre. And so, you know, that's kind of the one question that I think looms over this franchise over the long haul is, are they ever going to be able to consistently crank out pitchers who are ready to come here and have almost instant success? Last year they tried it. They've rolled out rookie after rookie after fresh face after young arm, and it hasn't worked. You could sign all the free agents you want, and you can make all the trades for established starters you want. At some point, you got to develop your own guys, and it remains to be seen if this franchise can do that.
By the way, we're talking with Mo Egger from ESPN Radio in Cincinnati. So in comparison to the rest of the division, now give me your thoughts as to where you think this Reds team, with the additions they've made and what they're doing, where they should end up.
We can pretty much, if Nick Senzel makes the team as the everyday center fielder, I think you and I know who the starting eight is going to be. We can, I think, pretty accurately identify who their main bench guys are going to be. We know who their starting staff is going to be. And the four or five most frequently used arms in the bullpen, we can identify who they're going to be. Now, typically, if I were to say that, you would go, that's a, what, 88, 90-win team, 92-win team?
Mm-hmm.
Best case, probably 500. They're better. And again, this franchise had to get people, you know, excited about the Reds again, but they're still not as good as St. Louis, Milwaukee, or even Chicago. And I know there's a lot of frustration among Cubs fans about the franchise's unwillingness to spend money, and you could say that about a lot of teams across baseball. I just think when you look top to bottom, look, the St. Louis Cardinals last year win 88 games. For the Reds to catch that number, they've got to improve by 21 wins. That's really hard to do. And the starting pitching end of it, you know, anecdotally, do I think that Tanner Roark can recapture the magic? Yes. Do I think Alex Wood can recapture his old form? Yes. Do I think Sonny Gray can go back to what he was before he fell apart pitching in Yankee Stadium last year? Yeah, I think each of those things can happen. I'm not sure all of them can. It's kind of like making a three-team parlay bet. The payoff is so big because all three things happening is such an unlikely occurrence. So I sort of hedge my bets against this team just based on that. And, you know, they had a lot of things among their position players go really, really well last year. Does Scooter Gennett hit at the level that he's hit over the last two seasons? Is Eugenio Suarez as good as he was last year? Do they really get the outfield production that people are banking on them getting? How much do they miss Billy Hamilton defensively in center field for a staff that's going to give up a lot of contact? And I think one of the more interesting things about this team is Joey Votto, who by his standards last year did not have a very good year. He has five more years left on his contract. They owe him more than $125 million. He has a deal that's almost impossible to move, and he has full no trade protection. So, you know, was last year the beginning of a decline, or does, you know, he lock himself in the lab all winter and reemerge as the Joey Votto from 2017? There's just too many questions, and I think the division is too good to talk about this team seriously contending. But I do think they'll score enough runs. I do think their bullpen, for the most part, should be a bit of an advantage for them, and their pitching should be better enough that they at least won't be, you know, totally punted from contention by the All-Star break. And I think if everything goes well, they've got a chance to finish around 500. And no matter what happens at the end of the year, they're going to have a farm system that's ready to yield a bunch of guys who are ready to be here and be hopefully a part of a good team in 2020 and beyond.
Good stuff as always, my friend. I'll be out in about a week and a half, and hope to see you out there, okay?
That would be fantastic. Thanks, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Mo Egger from ESPN Radio in Cincinnati giving us a lowdown on the Reds. Is Derek Johnson their new pitching coach? And we'll see how the Reds staff, you know, if they get better, if they stay stagnant, or if they even get worse. But nevertheless, will the Reds be the fly in the ointment for the Milwaukee Brewers? Hang out. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.